Hello, y'all. This is Scott Merrick from the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach, welcoming you to episode number 29 of Snacks for the Brain. This episode is a very special snacks.
Birthday, y'all, ladies and gentlemen, is very special snacks.
This episode features Dr. Jenny Shepherd in a library talk she did at the Nashville Public Library to 200-300 people who attended her Thinking Outside the Lunchbox session March the 1st. The entire presentation is available and can be linked to from the show notes site at snackforthebrain.blogspot.com. Go check that out from the special blast that I posted last week. Dr. Shepherd is the erstwhile leader of the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach, and she has been working tirelessly for years and years and years, I won't say how many, to connect K-12 students with this whole working research science thing that's going on at the Vanderbilt University Medical Center. She deserves all the applause, all the kudos, all the congratulations, all the support she can get. Listen first to her introductory remarks.
I think I better just turn over the floor to and welcome Professor Virginia Shepherd, who's director of our Science Outreach Program.
Well, I'm delighted to be here. I'm always excited about talking about a subject that I'm really passionate about. And what I'd like to do today is to give you an overview of what's been happening out in the public in terms of reports and recommendations, and summarize some of those for you that actually go back to as early as 1983, and then go through a little bit briefly of things that we're doing at the Center for Science Outreach, then end with some ways that we might think of continuing the reforms, making these nationwide, and then show a very, very short DVD, a movie that I think you'll enjoy that's about 2 minutes long.
Dr. Shepherd went on to reference several reports, one of which is A Nation at Risk, another is Before It's Too Late, the Glenn Report from the year 2000. Those can be found in their entirety online, and those links will be in the snacksforthebrain.blogspot.com show notes page 2. Let's listen to a little bit more of what Jenny Shepherd says about the crisis in American education.
I'm going to talk about one more giant in the science publication world, Time Magazine. And this was an issue of a few weeks ago, and it was the lead article was, Is America Flunking Science? Now, they gave a little more balanced view of where we stand in science education and where America stands globally. And the main point of the article was that the U.S. still leads the world in scientific innovation, but years of declining investment as well as fresh competition from abroad threatened to end that supremacy. And what they pointed out was the following. Foreign investors have nearly caught up with us in terms of patents, and the publication of our original research articles has fallen behind Europe's, and Asia's is surging. We still have the most science majors in the world, but if you adjust that for population, we rank 25th. The number of U.S. PhDs awarded in science is actually decreasing, while China's is again soaring. The U.S. leads in federal research dollars, but six countries now devote a larger percentage of their GDP to science. So is there really then a crisis? And I've pulled just a few statistics, and there are many more out there. I'm going to give you probably a little biased point of view since I am a scientist, and I do believe there is a crisis. Shirley Tilghman, who is the president of Princeton, has called this the quiet crisis. But in fact, I think we do agree at this point that there is a crisis. According to the National Center for Education Statistics, fourth and eighth graders are kind of holding their own with respect to other countries. But 12th graders have been declining and continue to decline on test performance in science. 47% of our 12th graders perform below the basic level, with only two at the advanced level. The number of teachers teaching without certification or a major in their field is estimated at 30 to 40%. Now, this little figure, and I like the test tube bar graph, shows Finland leading the pack in terms of countries with the highest percentage of 24-year-olds with science degrees at 13.2. I haven't listed all the countries above us. There are about 15. The U.S. is at the bottom with 5.7. There are countries, of course, below us, but we certainly are trailing some of the other important countries. And in the figure below this, I've shown a three-part figure with the box on the left showing the highest countries in terms of student performance on international tests. The middle block is the kind of average group, and that's where the U.S. is, and then the lower block. So we are not certainly at the top.
Certainly not. Well, how are we doing in Tennessee, and what's to be done about all of this?
How are we doing in Tennessee? We have a ways to go. Only 59% of high school students are taught by teachers with a major in their subject. Only 20% of high school students take at least one upper-level science course. 20%. 25% of 8th graders are at or above proficient. The national average is 42%. Less than 10% of our students score a 3 or better on AP exams, compared to the national average of 22%. The graduation rate is also alarming. The national graduation rate has stayed pretty constant for the last 15 years at about 72%. The graduation rate in Tennessee has gone from 69% to 57%. So this is not science specific, but it does give you an overview of education. Now, what the Rising Above the Gathering Storm report generated was Protecting America's Competitive Edge Act. So there is now an act on the table called PACE, and there are several recommendations that I'm going to allude to in this talk. And basically, one of the recommendations is that we train 70,000 high school teachers to lead advanced placement courses in math and science, that we bring 30,000 math and science professionals to teaching classrooms. And this is what President Bush has been calling the adjunct teaching corps. 30,000 math and science professionals by the year 2015.
Dr. Shepherd, in her presentation, went on to detail all of the different programs that we do at the Center for Science Outreach. And I'm going to skip over those and move right to the end, where she enumerates some of her hopes and dreams for the possible future of the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach. I think these are just stunning and interesting. I want to thank you all for listening to Snacks for the Brain, and we'll play a little music out at the end, and I certainly hope you'll check back for next week's number 30, Snacks for the Brain.
There are other, dreams that we have, actually. We are in the process of developing online courses that would be electives for class for high school students or middle school students, and we can do this through our video conferencing. We would love to develop and are, again, in the planning stages of developing web-based courses. This could be for both teachers and students. We would like to really to establish a national summer science institute for teachers, and we're working right now with the Exploratorium Institute in San Francisco to create the Exploratorium of the Southeast, which I'm really very excited about. I think it's possible that we could establish science academies within high schools. There's no reason that Stratford High School, for example, could not have a science academy where students would attend maybe a half a day or one day of each of their weeks and go to this science academy there, where they would get excellence in science. There could be expansion of all the science enrichment programs for middle and high school students. I think this is a key. We need to bring in more high school students into research labs at all of the universities in the city. And this needs to happen all across the country. Our summer science camps are easily replicatable and could be started and established at almost any university. As I mentioned, the GK-12 program could in fact be that training program for sending scientists into the classroom. And I would love to see something set up called the Vanderbilt University Science Center, where we would offer all of these activities under a single roof. Students and teachers alike could come and go, take courses, work in labs, learn what research means, and so forth. Now, my favorite, is the Vanderbilt BioBus. We're in the library. We all know about the bookmobiles. I want to do a BioBus. Actually, several states are already doing this. This is not a new idea. This could be a converted bus. This is what other states have done. And basically, you gut the bus and put in state-of-the-art laboratory and research equipment. And you can go to schools, you can go to rural areas, you can go to libraries, and you bring on students, middle school, high school students, or teachers to participate and to do hands-on activities and research experiments. So I would love to do a Vanderbilt BioBus.
Thank you very much for joining us for Snacks for the Brain, episode 29. As always, check out the show notes at snacksforthebrain.blogspot.com for all kinds of resources, including links to the publications mentioned in Dr. Shepherd's presentation. Music for today's podcast has been provided by the PubSec Music Network at music.podshow.com. Check that out, please! Also, check out the website at www.vanderbilt.edu/CSO to see all kinds of wonderful things the people at the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach are doing to connect working research scientists and K-12 students worldwide. See ya!